When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Welcome back to another episode of More Than Money. This is a special one. I have the Curious Canadian on the line. We had Charity and Dalton, the former Bachelorette, this past Monday. And next Monday, we have the new Bachelorette, Jen. The first episode of her season just premiered. So on this episode of More Than Money, we're going to do a couple things. We're going to talk about the guys. We're going to talk about their careers. We're even going to talk about their LinkedIn. Of course, we're going to get the Curious Canadian's take on the full episode. And then throughout this episode, at some point, we are going to have Bachelor Data join us to give us a very quick 5 to 10 minute rapid fire on all the statistics we need to know as it relates to the first episode. The ratings, the follower counts, all the things she's seeing from the numbers and the economics as it relates to this season of The Bachelorette. So that being said, Curious Canadian, this episode of More Than Money, how we feeling? What'd you think of the first episode?
Yeah, we're feeling pretty good. I'm right in my element here. I mean, we're recapping a little bit of The Bachelorette, and it's a new season, and it's a new mansion, Jay. A new mansion on a new season, and there's already a little bit of twists and turns. Some I like, some I don't like. So I'm ready to get into the professions. I'm ready to get into my predictions. I'm ready to just get into it today. So fire me up. What do you got for me?
I like it. We've never recapped a show, and I would say this is like the Trading Secrets recap version because we are tying business numbers and economics into this. So I'm excited about it. I'll tell you, my first instincts, I don't like the new mansion. I'm just not a bit like, there are things that about tradition I like, and there are things I don't like. I don't like a new mansion that's sponsored. I respect the business side of it. I'm sure it was free. I'm sure they even probably paid the show to have it. So I get that. But you know what? I like the old school mansion. The same place that for 20 some years, they have had the start to every single episode other than like COVID. And even COVID, I think they did it. I don't know. I want the old mansion back.
Well, even though the mansion is new, some of the old habits die hard. They still soak the driveway, so it's all shimmering. Now, yeah. If I'm a guy getting out of that limo, I'm like, am I going to slip? Like, this thing is soaked. Like, if I'm wearing shoes, some nice dress shoes, slick dress shoes, they got no grip on them, like, I'd be terrified of bailing. So some habits die hard.
David, let me tell you something. You're not worried at all about if you're going to slip. Your heart is going about 180 beats per minute. You don't know what's happening. You black out. There's cameras everywhere. Lights, camera, action for the first time in your life, likely, unless you have some type of background in the game. And that's what we're going to talk about here. But I will tell you, I don't remember one thing from when I came out of that limo. Not because of drinking, because of the adrenaline was so high, you just don't know what's happening. But that being said, David, I am going to quickly rifle off name, age, and then the job of 25 of these contestants. And then I want you to tell me who was the most memorable based on either their intro or their job. Now, why do I say intro? Because first impressions matter. I read a statistic that if you screw up a first impression, whether it's a date or whether it's a job interview, whatever it might be, it takes 17 acts of remedy to make up for one bad first impression. So you better not screw up that limo entrance. But here we go. We have Aaron, 29 years old, aerospace engineer. Wow. Austin, 28, sales executive. Brendan, 30, real estate broker. We have Brett Harris. God, he shouldn't have been voted off. 28, health and safety manager. Brian, 33, aesthetic consultant. We have Dakota, 27, a sommelier. We have Dylan, 24, medical student. Grant, 30, day trader. We have Hakeem, who's a medical device salesman at 29. Jahan, 28, startup founder. Jeremy, real estate investor. We have John, 28, medical student. Jonathan, 27, creative director. Kevin, 35, financial analyst. Marcus, 21, Army Ranger veteran. We have Marvin, who's a luxury event planner. He's 28. Matt, 27, insurance executive. We have Mose, 25, algebra teacher. Ricky, 28, pharmaceutical rep. Sam, 27, contractor. We got Sam, entrepreneur. We got Spencer, 30, pet portrait entrepreneur. We have Thomas, 31, retirement advisor. Thomas A, 27, physiotherapist. The first thing I'm thinking, David, is I got fucked. Okay. These are all normal jobs. I went on the show. There's four dudes from the NFL, three dudes from the MLB, two dudes from the MLS, the founder of Venmo. You got a 6'5" virgin on there. It looks like Ken the Barbie doll, who just dated the most famous gymnast in the planet. These are all guys, just your everyday dudes.
These are your everyday dudes. You know, there is some job titles that do stick out there. There were some entrances that stick out there. So what I did last night in preparation for this is I watched the show, Jay. I went person by person. I wrote their name as they came out of limo, their age, their job. I wrote a couple notes, and then I rated them out of 10.
Okay.
In terms of not just them, like them, but just their overall, what I got to see from them. And I'm going to say, I think I feel really good. I feel really good about, you know, where I'm at for the season. So, you know, I mean, I think we can just get into it. Just maybe the most intrigue, Noah's brother,
yeah,
Aaron Erb, aerospace engineer. I mean, he got a video package. He's also a pilot. I mean, this guy's got some Bachelor Nation connections here. We've seen the pilots do well. He's got the famous brother who's now engaged to Abigail, I believe. So I got some money on him. I got some money on him. What do you think? An aerospace engineer? You think he's probably got one of the best jobs out of the crew too?
Oh, I think so. When you look at this, it's pretty impressive. I mean, the guy's a stud. He's got some, you know, a little nepo of the Bachelor Nation, a little nepotism, doesn't hurt anybody. And anybody that has aerospace and engineer in your title, you have my respect. That's for sure. The one that threw me, David, was the pet entrepreneur portrait guy, right?
I have that. What Unbelievable. Is a pet portrait? What's a pet portrait entrepreneur?
I looked up the company. So when you, like, if you want to do like different gifts or portraits of your dog or your cat, they do these like very HD 4K quality photos and different merchandise for your dog. And under his LinkedIn, it says that he's the founder and he's got 74 employees under him. Oh, we might have to have him on the podcast. How to start a pet entrepreneur's company.
Spencer doing it. Now, there was another entrepreneur on there that actually looked just like our friend Jeff Ramlo, Jahan.
Jahan,
startup founder. He brought the queen chess piece, called her a queen. I have in my notes, he could be loaded. I just get those, you know, I just get those vibes from him. Any idea on Jahan, startup founder, what he's doing, what the company is?
I mean, Forbes 30 under 30, that's huge. He's got some serious stuff on his resume. We see University of California, Berkeley, Bachelor of Science in Chemical Engineering. My God, worked as a researcher and Johnson & Johnson and at Data Science Co-op. And then Gainful, he's the CTO, Chief Technology Officer, and co-founder. Gainful makes performance nutritions made for you. Personalize your products on Gainful.com or customize your protein in Target stores nationwide. Gainful makes protein, hydration, pre-workout, and various other products. I'll tell you what, Jahan, my boy David and I might need some of these products, but that sounds like a pretty smart guy. Now, David, one thing I'm curious about, and you're going to hear this in the episode with Jen when I ask her, is like, what value does she put on the people's jobs, right? Like we have, you know, Megan who created the song 6'5", Blue Eyes, Finance, Trust Fund. And her whole take on that was a parody because she said that like women in New York will find the dumbest reasons to get rid of someone like their job. They could be perfect. They could be 6'5", Blue Eyes, everything you would want, but then they have a job as a bartender and people are out. So I'll be curious what value Jen puts on the whole career factor, but I'm really curious. I want to hear your prediction, Curious Canadian. How do you think the numbers came in for this premiere? Up, down, left, or right? What do you think?
Well, it's a good question. I think it's a little later in the summer than we're used to. So I'm going to say that the ratings were a little under. And back to your comment about the job thing. I mean, one of the observations I saw is 25 guys for the season, which I feel like is fairly low compared to some of the numbers that have been coming in season over season. 7 people eliminated night one. We're already down to 18. She eliminated 7 people, probably doesn't even know what their jobs were, what they were doing for a living, because it's night one and you can't retain names, let alone job information. So she might have got rid of some guys that maybe have the most successful career that she may be looking for in terms of building a foundation, but she doesn't even know. She's going off first impressions. She's going off guys showing up in freaking stretchers with bandages over my face. P.S. That guy's my first enemy of the season because I'm not about that life. He's got guys rolling up in Corvettes starting fights already saying I got a big piece. I mean, come on. I got two enemies. Those are my two guys right now.
You always hate the loudest and the proudest. We respect that, though. So, David, you and I are talking about the numbers. We're speculating. I think on my season, we actually had 33 people start, and they went down to 23. We're seeing on this season, you said they're about 25 to start and already down to 18. So you know it's going to move quick. You know it's going to move fast. That being said, we talk numbers on this show, but we know who the expert is, especially when it comes to numbers and Bachelor and all things pop culture. Susanna Summers, she's been on the show plenty of times, and she'll be on plenty more. Susanna Summers, aka Bachelor Data, thank you so much for coming on, and it's so good to see you.
Thanks for having me on. This is hands down my favorite podcast and numbers podcast.
I love that. We'll take any positive reinforcement we could get. Now, let's just start with this. So this is a More Than Money episode. We've never recapped any show ever, and we're trying to take like an economics and number approach to a recap, which of course is the premiere of this season of The Bachelorette, and we know that you know all things numbers. So when you looked at all the numbers regarding Monday's episode, what was most surprising to you?
Well, first and foremost are the ratings. Now, I was not optimistic about Jen's premiere ratings for a few different reasons. First and foremost, Bachelor versus Bachelorette. If we look back to 2008, when they reformatted the show and kind of got into the format that we see now, The Bachelor always has higher ratings than The Bachelorette, and that's for a few different reasons. Bachelor is always on in the winter. It premieres in January when people are at home, they're not traveling. Bachelorette, on the flip side, it premieres in May, June, July when people are out and about traveling because it's summer, the weather is good. On top of that, social media follower counts also kind of correlates when it comes to gender. So the people who watch the Bachelor franchise are generally women, and women identify with women. So when it comes to social media growth, we're going to see higher gains for the Bachelor seasons for the contestants because it's a bunch of women versus the Bachelorette where the majority of the cast are men. So let's talk about the numbers. Jen's premiere broke ratings expectations. Also, whenever we look at race, so race is going to be a big topic this season, our first Asian Bachelorette. If we look back at ratings data and we compare show to show, so Bachelorette to Bachelorette and then Bachelor to Bachelor, there have only up until Jen been four Bachelorettes who gained viewers from the previous Bachelorette premiere.
Wow. Okay.
Jen has become the fifth Bachelorette. Reminder, we've had 21 seasons. Jen is now the fifth Bachelorette to gain viewers from the previous Bachelorette premiere. So from Charity's premiere, she gained almost 700,000 viewers compared to Charity's premiere.
Wow.
Amazing. And then if we look at all of the data for Bachelorette and Bachelor, Jen is the only person of color lead to gain viewers from the previous premiere out of Bachelor and Bachelorette. So pretty historic season, and I'm not going to lie, data I wasn't expecting.
Interesting. You said expectations, and you just ended that with saying data you weren't expecting. Help me understand, like, is there a way to get expectations when it comes to these ratings? Do you have any insight as to, like, the executives, do they have an idea of what it should be? Or are you looking at historical data to predict the future?
I'm looking at historical data, right? Okay. So if we look at the Bachelor franchise all the way since 2002, when it started, the show used to get anywhere from 10 to like 15 million viewers per episode. Okay. But that was back in 2002. That was before YouTube, social media, streaming. Also, if we look at just the state of cable TV back then, there were far less TV shows and even networks to watch TV on every night. So in this day and age, the reality TV world is oversaturated. On top of that, we have all of these amazing shows now on streaming, anything from Love Island, Love is Blind, and all these other shows. And especially now, it used to be streaming was competing with cable TV. Now, streaming is competing with TikTok and YouTube because people are watching TV and movies less. So we're seeing lower numbers in the movie box offices. We're seeing lower numbers for TV shows on streaming and on cable TV because a lot of people are just choosing to watch TikTok and YouTube instead of going to those other places for their entertainment.
so interesting to me. David, I know that you have a million questions as it relates to TikTok and YouTube. I'm going to let you come in right after this question, but talk to me about the actual social media followers at this point. You have 25 men. We're now down to 18. And of course, we already know that Jen's following has increased dramatically based on the post you put out there. And I'll let you talk to the specifics of it, but talk to me about social media following of the lead and the contestants just after night one.
Yeah, so that was another one that blew my expectations out of the water, especially when we look back. I've been analyzing data on this show for social media follower counts since 2018. And when we talk about social media growth, there's a few different factors there. So going back to genders, women are going to gain more followers than men. On top of that, ratings have a big impact. If there's more people watching, there is a higher chance for social media growth post-2020. If we look pre-2020, it's interesting because there was a peak for Instagram growth opportunity that really happened from Colton season to Peter's season in that range. So if we look at like Nick Viall's season, he didn't gain and his contestants didn't gain nearly as many followers as Peter's women did. But that's because the peak of Instagram growth opportunity was in that range of 2018 to 2020. Then since 2020 happened, when the world shut down, that's when TikTok exploded. So now we're competing for people's attention between those two different social media platforms. So it's kind of been spread out between the two. But let's talk social media growth. So Jen, first Asian lead, person of color, when we look at that type of data of the growth of contestants and leads, we typically see that white contestants and leads will outpace the people of color contestants and leads. But Jen versus Joey, which I typically don't like to compare, Joey had 222,000 followers the night that his season premiered. Jen had 198,000 followers. She gained more followers in the first 24 hours after her premiere than Joey did after his. So they both gained about 14,000 followers. He gained 14,600. She gained 14,700. Now, some people at home might be listening to that and thinking, oh, it's just 100 followers. But all of those factors listed, it was expected that Jen was likely going to gain less followers than Joey. So if we look back at Charity's premiere, she only gained 4,000 followers after her premiere, nowhere near the 14,000 that Jen and Joey are seeing.
Amazing. Plus, if you look at that as a percentage, the percentage of her growth is much, much greater than Joey's when you're comparing the two based on social media growth. Interesting stuff. David, any questions or thoughts from your end?
Well, I got comments, obviously. I think it's so interesting to see. I'm surprised by these numbers because you throw in the Maria factor where everyone wanted her to be the lead. There was a lot of chatter. She goes on Call Her Daddy. And it almost seemed like from a lot of the perspective that Jen was going to be a disappointing, you know, lead that people always say, I'm not going to tune in. You don't listen to the fans, blah, 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 blah. Here she is. Not only is the numbers never lie. She's improving in ways that are almost historical for the show. And she crushed it. And I loved the highlight package and the storytelling at the start that kind of dives into more of her family. Such a wholesome family. I'm cheering for her big time. I thought she handled all the entrances really, really well.
Support American-made tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
I do have a question as it relates to ratings and followings, and this is kind of tailing off how the show ended. And Jay, we got to talk about this from an economics perspective because ABC flipping the dime for 18 contestants to fly on episode 2 to Australia is absurd. So I want to know from, and I don't know if you have this data, but you probably do because you have all the data. When a show travels to certain places, right? We saw some COVID seasons where they're in one location. You've seen the show's history forever. When they travel, does it impact ratings at all? Does it impact following counts at all? Is there any relation to exotic places or traveling in seasons as it relates to ratings and things like that?
So this is an interesting question to answer because this is the first time ever that we have seen a show travel this early. So it's going to be one of those questions of the chicken or the egg, which one came first, because we typically see social media growth really pick up and ratings as we get closer to hometowns, because that's when we have a smaller cast. We get to know more of the stories more. And a lot of people will only tune in those few weeks before hometowns just because they want to see, you know, who's really relevant and they want to see the end of the season. So it'll be really interesting to see what an impact this has. I did hear through the grapevine that they're traveling because budgets are fantastic after Joey's season.
Wow. Joey.
Shout out Joey. Yeah. Making money for the people.
And I did hear some people speculating that they have a smaller cast because they're traveling so soon. That's not true, because if we look back at the previous seasons of The Bachelorette, aside from Gabby and Rachel, because they had a combined season, Charity had 25 men. Before that, they've been decreasing the number of contestants for The Bachelorette, but not for The Bachelor. On top of that, the length of the seasons have changed since the pandemic as well. So on The Bachelor, the show and pre-pandemic, Bachelor and Bachelorette, it was 10 weeks total. Night one is week one. Hometowns is week eight. Overnights is week nine, so on and so forth. It's always been 10 weeks since they reformatted the show back in 2008. But since the pandemic started and Clarentatia's season, that was wild. Everything was different because she peaced out a few weeks into hers. But when you look at Katie, Michelle, Gabby and Rachel, Charity, they've all been less than 10 weeks. So that also impacts the costs of filming. Like if they're not filming as long, you don't have to pay the producers, the film crew, all of that as much. But I do think that there's going to be a lot of interest in Jen's season because they're traveling so soon, and to Australia and New Zealand, which will be amazing. So it'll be really interesting to see how all of those numbers pan out, especially those extravagant, exotic dates that they're going to be having, if that's going to impact that social media growth. But we're not going to see nearly as much social media growth for the men this season that we saw for Joey's women. And that just comes back to genders. We always see the contestants who are men get less followers than women.
Sorry, boys. So interesting. Now, I'm a little envious because we didn't start traveling internationally until week seven. We went from Richmond, Virginia to Nassau, Bahamas on week seven. So to see them do it week two is unbelievable. And I do remember, like, even with producers and in the camera crew and just the energy of when we were going international, like, everyone talked about it. It was a big thing. So to see them do that week two is really cool. Now, you talked about extra budget from Joey's season. That's unbelievable. Go Joey. But we also can't forget there is a lot of momentum from the Golden Bachelor. So it's really hard. It's really hard and not even fair to compare apples to literally plums. But when you look at some of the numbers from the Golden Bachelor and you compare it to what we're seeing here on the premiere, is there any comparison? Do you have any numbers or statistics on what that looks like?
Oh man, you can't even compare it, but when it comes to ratings, Golden Bachelor, I mean, it was insane. That premiere had over 4 million viewers. Jeez. And then the finale hit over 6 million viewers. Wow. So it's so hard to compare when it comes to ratings, but it's the opposite for social media growth. The contestants and the lead on Golden Bachelor didn't see, I mean, it was drops in a bucket in terms of social media growth. And that makes sense because the people who watch this show, especially people's attention, it's such a high currency in today's day and age that the people, like, you choose to follow less people in 2024 than people used to back in 2015. So this audience is primarily people who are 18 to 49. And that's how they measure ratings demo with Nielsen. That's the most valuable audience. And those are the people who watch this show. So people who are 18 to 49 years old, they're not going to be following people in their senior years the way that they're going to be following people in their 20s and 30s, because they identify them and they're actually curious about what they do in their day-to-day life.
I have two rapid fire questions that I'm just curious on your responses to. Bachelor in Paradise not happening this year, Golden Bachelorette happening instead. Which is going to do better ratings? Paradise from last year or Golden Bachelorette this year?
I'm a bit of a pessimist when it comes to Golden Bachelorette, and that's because I think that the whole premise of the Golden franchise has been a bit tainted by the wedding that happened so quickly, followed by the divorce. And so many people being critical and realizing, hey, they're casting all of these people from around the country to go and date somebody who's also in their senior years. And if anybody has had grandparents, et cetera, they know that older people don't like to change. They don't like to move. Like once they settle in those old years, they settle down near their family, that they're less likely to move. And we'll have to see how they cast Joan's season and her men, if they're going to be a bit closer this time. But I don't think that it's as realistic as it is for something like Love is Blind, where you have so many more people who are, one, willing to go on reality TV, and number two, even be single in their 20s and 30s the way that they are in their 60s and 70s. Most people at that age are, number one, not willing to go on reality TV, and number two, most people are married at that age. So when it comes to Bachelor in Paradise, I think what most people don't realize, Bachelor in Paradise gets worse ratings than The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. It has always, since season one, had lower ratings that year compared to The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. Okay. So it makes sense that it's not coming back, though I think Bachelor in Paradise is going to be the biggest opportunity for this franchise to really revamp what they're doing. I mean, we're hearing it, especially right now on TikTok, with Love Island USA is popping off. And I've been tracking their social media growth this season. It is insane. Like we've never, Love Island USA has never been this popular. Yeah. And when it comes to Bachelor in Paradise, it's been the same format. Bachelor and Bachelorette, same format. So I'm really hoping that with this year that they're supposedly taking off, that everybody on the inside, we've all been hearing, it's a year that they're taking off, regroup, recast, give some time. Like we saw that first season after the pandemic. And also Love Island USA, if you just look at their data since the show came out, this season is like 10x what any other season has been.
Thank you. Okay, now I might have another small rapid fire in there. If you were to go on, if you're a contestant and you're looking for gaining a social media following, that's your goal, okay? We know that that's not for the right reasons, quote unquote, but that's a big reason. What are you recommending as a consultant to a contestant on reality TV? Say you should go on this show because it's going to yield the best chance of a return for a big following.
I have so many recommendations. Okay. First and foremost, go for an international show. So Bachelor and Bachelorette, it is nearly impossible to watch that show outside the US. And I know because I go to Brazil, I've been to the Cayman Islands. I've ran into so many problems trying to watch this show abroad. And I used to be a technology director that knows how to use VPNs. So like first and foremost, choose a show that's going to be international. So Love Island, Love is Blind, et cetera. Like my cousins in Brazil watched Love is Blind live, same time as me, just because Netflix is an international platform. Number two, you're going to need to figure out kind of where things are. So if you had asked me like a year or two ago, I'd say Love Island UK, and I would have said Love is Blind. Love is Blind has kind of been going down recently. So I would pick right now, if it had to be a reality TV show, especially dating, I would say Love Island USA right now. And I think next season will really pick up from how popular this one was.
Okay, last question. If you were to tell Jason that we should have one person from Love Island US on the podcast when the finale's done, who
either
is it?
Leah or Kaylor. So I actually have their data here. So Leah, since the beginning of Love Island USA, she's gained 170,000 followers. Rob has gained 102,000 followers, and Kaylor has gained 70,000 followers. So those are going to be the people to watch for. I can't wait to start reporting on this data. We've been taking it daily, and it has been like Joey level, Peter Weber level seasons to analyze.
Electric is the only way I can put it. What do you got, Jay? I've been keeping you on the sidelines for the longest in the podcast history for you. So hopefully you're ready to jump in like I am always on the sidelines, ready to jump in.
I honestly, I'm not ready to jump in. I'm ready to just keep hearing your questions, David. They're great. You're killing it. Here's what I'll end with, Susanna. I'm looking at your Instagram right now. And if you guys do not follow Bachelor Data, go follow Bachelor Data and also Pop Culture Data. But you do so many analytics, from the Bachelor age casting to the Bachelorette dress history. I mean, it's unbelievable. Are there any other stats or things regarding the premiere that we should know about before we close?
Oh my gosh, so many. So first and foremost, that limo exit order, it's so critical every season. So in between each limo entrance, we got intro packages for like 8 of the men. If we look back historically, if you are doing any type of like fantasy league bracket, that is going to tell you who our big players are going to be. So I have an analysis where I've looked at those intro packages, or where they show the video of them back at their hometowns, a little bit into their daily lives before they left for filming. The men who got intro packages this season: Marcus, both of the Sams, so Sam N and Sam M, not to sound confusing, Grant, Thomas N, Aaron, who is Noah Erb's brother from Bachelor in Paradise, Dylan and Devin. So we've seen in the past that those intro packages are really going to tell us who are going to be the main characters this season. And a really interesting thing that I noticed with the limo entrances. So we typically have like those traditional entrances where the men will be like, I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited you're the Bachelorette. Can't wait to talk to you inside. And then we have the people who show up like in a Ferrari or, you know, with balloons attached to them. Those are called like gimmicks or, you know, unique limo entrances. Really interesting. I feel like producers tried to shake things up this season, but maybe not in the most favorable way here. 84% of her men had some type of gimmick for their limo entrance. And if we look back historically, those numbers are nowhere near that. So we typically have like 60%, 50%. Claire and Hannah had 46%. So it was a lot of people trying to do these really unique things to get her attention.
The only one that worked was the dogs. The only one that worked was the puppies. Let's be serious here. Puppy man was on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the first impression rose is the last big thing to look at, but only for The Bachelorette. So if we're looking back at season since 2009, the women have the best eye and they know how to pick them. So 65% of men who get the first impression rose make it to Final Four.
Wow.
And 47% of men go on to win their season. Meanwhile, if we look at the Bachelor franchise, so whenever men are handing out that first impression rose, Peter Weber is literally the only man who has chosen his first impression rose in the end, and he broke off the engagement within a few weeks.
And he dated every person on the season.
He belongs on Love Island.
I love Peter.
And on top of that, only 31% of women who got the first impression rose made it to Final Four. So it's kind of like the kiss of death on The Bachelor, but on The Bachelorette, it's actually when it comes out, you know, Jesse brings out the rose and all the men are like, oh my God, this is so important. It actually is important on The Bachelorette.
Unbelievable. Well, these statistics are mind-blowing. All the numbers, the economics, all the things you would want to know regarding pop culture and, of course, The Bachelor. Guys, again, go follow Bachelor Data. Go follow Pop Culture Data. And Susanna, what else do you have working on that people can look forward to?
Oh, man, so much. So on Pop Culture Data, I've also launched a Substack. I'm analyzing everything, even outside of reality TV. So the women's U.S. gymnastics team, analyzing those follower counts for the women who just qualified for the team. Also analyzing things like Netflix shows like the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders that we just had on and all the data around that. So be sure to drop a follow. And as always, I've got my Excel and Google Sheets courses where you get to use all of this data that I collect to learn Excel and Google Sheets in my courses. So it's just been a blast to have so many thousands of women come and learn Excel in a way that's just so relatable and so easy to learn.
Yeah, and I will tell you, someone in personal finance, that if you can understand just the very, very, very basics of Excel, you can change your whole financial future with budgeting and just seeing the numbers in an understandable way, because there's no way to improve them without seeing them, and Excel is a great place to do that. So go message Susanna, follow her at Bachelor Data and Pop Culture Data, and Susanna, as always, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Susanna Summers, Bachelor Data. I'll tell you what, David, we could have her on every single episode. She has so much information and the numbers are just literally oozing out. It's unbelievable. But back to the episode here. So we talked about their professions. We talked about the numbers behind it. Clearly a successful first premiere. What else are you thinking as it relates to episode one?
Well, I don't know if you noticed there, but you know how in Bachelor in Paradise a couple years ago, they tried to tie in the Love Island concept of Casa Amor, where they brought it, they took the guys away and put them in a new house and they brought new girls in. Well, Jay, did you notice night one in the mansion, they're playing Truth or Dare?
Yeah.
Truth or Dare in the mansion. I'm like, what are we doing here? You talk about traditionalists. There's no big Truth or Dare dice where you're getting in the weeds like that, trying to play a fun game where guys are probably sweating that haven't talked to her yet. What was your take on Truth or Dare night one in the mansion?
Yeah, that's a bold move. It's a bold move. Things are changing a little bit. I will tell you, because there's so many men and they're all trying to talk to her and they can only film for so long, there's a lot of downtime. So I think it's actually smart that they're making use of it to kind of try and stir things up a little bit, because
okay,
you're sitting around for a while just trying to get, you know, your time in with The Bachelorette. So I'm not surprised by that. You know, it's interesting to see all the professions that we've seen like this, because mm-hmm. pretty much, other than I think, you know, maybe let's say 2 to 4 entrepreneurs, everyone else works for large corporate. So the overarching idea of thinking that all of them had to take time off and try and request the time off that like you would need to do something like this, that's unconventional. Like, that's a hard thing to pull off. And all of them did.
It's so funny you mentioned that. When Jesse said we're heading to Melbourne, Australia, at the end, I thought some guys would be hyped. I swear to God, Jay, I was looking at people's reactions and some guys were looking, being like, oh shit, I didn't request that much time off from work. Like, I'm stuck. Like, I get kicked off episode 2. I'm in Melbourne, Australia. Like, my 5 days that I requested off, maybe 2 weeks, like, it's going to take a week just to get back. So that blew me away too.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to catch up with some of these guys after to see how they got off and if some of them lost their jobs along the way. But talking to Jen will be fun, because I also, you know, David, the one question you had brought up here is a question I brought up to Jen. And that question stems around Maria and Daisy, right? We heard mm-hmm. Maria say they came to her first. We saw that Daisy was approached and declined it. And I agree with you that the idea that the third person was picked, at least in the public's eyes, which could be incorrect, that could have a perspective on if people tune in or not. It sounds like it did it. And you'll hear Jen's take on that. So that's interesting. Anything else as it relates to the business side, the economics, the numbers of the jobs of some of these guys?
No, but I just want to say I haven't been locked in on a season in a long time. For our listeners that listen to The Bachelorette, it's going to be good for me to be locked in, because I'm going to want to say some comments about it. I got a top three, some people that I'm really rooting for. I loved Marcus, the Army Ranger veteran who came out of the limo first. Great background story, absolute wholesome stud. And Sam, who got the first impression rose, some Southern charm in him. I think he's going to be really, really good too. So I'm excited for the season, Jay. I haven't said that in a while, but I'm excited for the season. Knowing they have a big budget, I'm going to see with our economics eye if we notice some changes in the season as in terms of economics and a little bit of show production there. So that's it for me. You got anything that you're really looking forward to?
The only thing I'll tell you is I hate rumors. I don't like to spread them. I don't like to step in them. But what I will tell you is I did put a tweet out about Marcus supporting him, and I got a little backlash because I think a couple things have popped up. I have not gone down the rabbit hole to check the validity of those things. I have not looked into them in any way, shape, or form. But I do want to make sure that, you know, that's at least brought to our attention, just in case some of those things aren't rumors, there are facts behind them. I haven't gone down the rabbit hole, but I wanted to put it out there.
There you go. You always got to get my back. And just so the listeners know, you'll never get spoilers from us. We're just going to get our raw reactions, just like, you know, everybody else watching the show. And like I said, I'm excited. You got to bob and weave these things. Poor Jen doesn't even know. She's in the mansion, doesn't even know.
Bob and weave
certain things. Part of the process.
And I'll tell you this, from meeting her and talking to her, she is an unbelievable person, charismatic, great energy, powerful energy. When you're in the presence of her, she's got powerful energy, which I fucking love. And I'm excited for this season. So make sure you guys tune in next week. We have Jen coming on the podcast. First time ever we have a lead mid-season. We're excited about that. And David, you got anything before we wrap?
No, fired up for that. And once again, shout out to Charity and Dotton. We didn't really get to recapping them as much as maybe we would like in this episode, but you know, coming off night one, premiere of The Bachelorette, having Bachelor Data on, that was a treat. But I gotta say, Charity and Dotton, we touched on it a little bit at the end of there. It's just such wholesome people who are living such a great traditional life almost post show, which is refreshing. They got what it takes, and we'll be rooting them on just like we're rooting Jen on. So we're all for it here. We're all for it here at Trading Secrets.
Two of my favorite people from the Bachelor franchise, Charity and Dotton. They are so great. They're unbelievable. If you did not listen to that episode, make sure to go back and listen to that episode. Especially the part I'll never forget is Dotton talking about his upbringing and where he is today and why each step of the road has created the perspective he has today. It was beautiful. But thank you for tuning in to this episode of More Than Money. Hopefully it was one you couldn't afford to miss.